and they go, yeah. What do you mean, yeah? Because in Hawaii, aloha means hello. So if I say hello to you, you don't say hello back. It's kind of being rude, right? But aloha also means goodbye. So if you're leaving somebody, you say aloha. It also means love. And so when you say, you know, I aloha you, I love you. But there's another meaning for it that a lot of people don't know. It's made up of two Hawaiian words that literally means may the breath of God be upon you. Yeah, it's actually a Christian word, but a lot of people in Hawaii don't know that, right? But yes, so I indeed wish that the breath of God be upon you. It is my privilege to be here with you. I want to thank Pastor Gary for having me and his brother, who Pastor Rick, arranged for all this. I met Pastor Rick many years ago at a Band of Brothers conference in the Chicago area. And we hit it off right away. In the very first service, we were sitting next to each other, and I was dodging his arms as to when we were worshiping. You know what I mean, right? Oh, man, another one. Oh, another one, right? But I'm kind of charismatic myself, and so we got to know each other. I was actually the mission speaker for the conference. I had four sessions. He was the only person, I think, that attended all four sessions. And so, of course, right there, you got to love a guy who wants to hear you talk, right? But I've had him in Hawaii a few times, his wife too, and I've spoken here a few times. I've been at North Braddock, I've been at Murraysville, and so it's been a great partnership and friendship. So once again, it's an honor for me to be here, and so yeah, it's a blessing. Thank you for having me here. But groups, this is the start of it this week, and so. I just so happened to be here this weekend, and Pastor Rick asked me to, if you can, you know, kick it off. And so, wow, what an honor, because I personally believe in small groups. It is biblical. You had the disciples. They went to the temple, but they also went into the homes, which is cells. So celebration and cells, right? And so you are going to be studying a great book. My good friend, John Bevere, he wrote the foreword of my book, Missions Power. He's the author of the book, The All of God. That's what you're going to be studying, and it's the basis of your connection group series. It's our hope that as we kick it off today, that you will learn what is the fear of God and actively pursue the fear of God. And so the fear of God, really, it's different parts of it. Today, we're just going to focus and start off with loving what God loves, loving what God loves. So one thing about fear, when we hear that word, is that, oh, that's a bad thing, you know, because there's a lot of things that we fear and we want to get rid of fear. Fear's not good, it's bad, it's fear of being hurt. The women in the Wong household, they fear cockroaches, they fear spiders, they fear geckos, even though I tell them geckos are good because they eat the bugs, but no, you know, it's a big bug, you know, whatever, right? In the Bible, there are 365 occurrences of fear nots. Okay, that's how many times it's found in the Bible. These are destructive fears. That's why we do not fear those things. However, even though there's 365 of those, there's over 200 fear God. Because fearing God is constructive and good. I'm so excited that for the very first time, as Pastor Gary mentioned, I'm an international speaker. I actually fly over 100,000 miles a year with United Airlines. I'm at 2.6 million miles now with United Airlines. They say that once I hit 3 million, it means I've been in the air longer I've been on the ground. But I also will reach that plateau. They call it the 1K Premier Executive Membership, meaning that forever, for the rest of my life, I'm a 1K, meaning that I will upgrade it on first class every time. So I'm 400,000 miles away, okay? But that means I've been in the air longer than I've been in the ground, okay? But because I speak all over the world, my family doesn't get to go with me most of the time because, you know, they've got their own stuff. My wife is one of the premier licensed counselors in Hawaii, Christian counselors, and she's also a credentialed minister. So she's got that double whammy of being a pastor and also a counselor. So she's very busy. She's got a waiting list. She just told me the other day that she's got 17 people on her waiting list. You know, and a lot of pastors' wives go to her. She has that kind of ministry. But on this trip, I get to come with my son, Ryan. Ryan, can you stand up for a second? Okay. got three children. He's the youngest one. And this is our very first trip together alone. Okay? There's been other times, you know, different variation, my wife and I and him and then others. We just went to Niagara Falls in Canada, and there were, my daughter joined us, so there were four of us. And then there's another occasion when my oldest son came, so there'd be five of us. But this is the first time, just the two of us, right? And I treat this as really special because the first two, I was so busy with so many things because I was a businessman. I was also bivocational as a pastor. And so I spent very little time with my two older ones, and I felt guilty about that. And although they're both serving God, they're Christian, born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, they're you know, fantastic children, I felt like I kind of missed out my those special fatherly times with them. So when Ryan was born, he's much younger than the first two. I said, you know what? I'm not going to blow it with this one. I'm going to spend lots of time with him. And my wife was so happy to hear that. And so I did, you know. We would read the Bible together every night. We would do things together. And after a while, I noticed that he started liking the things I like. And not just like, he loved the things I love. Case in point, I remember I was cooking. I usually cook dinner at home. My wife would do the breakfast and lunch. So I was cooking dinner, and we have a TV set in the kitchen. And so I had a Monday night football game on, okay? So he comes in, and he sits down, and he's watching, and he says, oh, these are two strange teams. I says, yeah, I don't really know them either. And said, well, which team are you rooting for? Well, I don't know, maybe the Broncos, you know, because, you know, Peyton Manning was playing for them at the time, right? Probably, you know, because there's a superstar QB, and he says, oh, okay. He sits down, and I'm cooking away. He says, go, Broncos, go. Go, Broncos, go. I says, why are you rooting for them? Because you're rooting for them, you know? Yeah, because Daddy likes them, loves them, actually, because I really like Peyton Manning, you know? Then he started loving it. And I noticed that what I loved, he loved, right? But I also noticed what I hate, he hated too. And I'm really, when it comes to sin, you know, and being close to sin, I'm like far away from it. I don't want to play too close to fire because I'll get burned. And so that's the way I live my life. For example, there are a lot of movies and shows that I will not watch. I don't care if it's a good story and meaningful, you know, a life lesson and all that stuff. You know, if it's questionable and it's got, you know, nudity and swearing and all that, why do I want to subject myself to that? There's enough of that already in the world. I don't need that, right? But I've noticed that even as a teenager, he stays away from that stuff too. You know, like he'll see a listing of a movie and says, would that be a good movie? Oh, wait a minute. No, it's restricted. Oh, no, then I don't want swearing. I don't want to see nudity. And like, he's hating what I'm hating, you know, just because of our relationship, right? And also, he makes himself accountable to me. There's private things that we can talk about, you know, the guys type stuff that he can't talk to mom about, but he'll talk to me about. You know, and so when I think about that, I think, wow, I'm so glad that I made the decision that I was going to get close to my third child, because like he's almost like a little Terry Wong, you know, like wow, how good is that? Well, biblically, you know, this whole area of fearing God, I start thinking about it. That's the way it should be, because fear of God is actually speaking about a relationship, because those who fear God will love what God loves. They will hate what God hates and live as if we will stand before God and give an account. And because I see that in my own son, that's the same way we are with God. And we can learn from that. So if any of you, you know, you can kind of relate with this family kind of a parallel, then that's the way we need to look at God. It's not that we're scared of God. My son, he's not scared of me, I don't think. You know, I don't think he's scared of me. But because of how he looks at me as his daddy, you know, he lives life differently. And I think that's the way God wants us to be when it comes to the fear of God. There's two scriptures to launch from. For one is Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 to 14. And it goes, that's the whole story. Here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands, for this is everyone's duty. God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. This was written probably by Solomon or a wise teacher that knew his sayings and his life. And here we see that Solomon, if it was Solomon, he had a successful life for part of his life. We can see this from 1 Kings chapter 4 to chapter 10. He was successful. He had wealth. He had servants. Everything in the kingdom was prosperous, had peace. He had plenty. But he was wise in his own eyes. And after a while, especially when you get into chapter 11 of 1 Kings, you see that he started doing things that he ought not to. You know, the women thing. Right? We know about that story of his. And he became wise in his own eyes. Life became meaningless and futile. He started, the phrase that you see in Ecclesiastes, chasing after the wind. How can you chase after the wind? Well, of course you can't. You know, you can't even see it. You can feel it. But where is it going? And life becomes like that. If life becomes like that, you're going nowhere. And Solomon had hit that point. But he went from the highest of heights to the lowest of lows. But at the end of his life, hallelujah. You know, it's not how you live part of your life. It's how you end your life. It's not even about starting out really strong and God remembers that. And he will, but it's how you end, you know. And so how he ended was that at the end of this chapter of Ecclesiastes, it hit him how important the fear of God and obedience, that we will all stand before God. And even in this chapter, 7 times, you see the word remember. Remember God. Remember the Creator. Remember what He has done. Remember the greatness of God. And so it doesn't matter how low your lows are. Remember the greatness of God. Remember how high up you used to be at one time. You can get back there again. God is a God of second chance. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter if you blow it big time. You come to Him. Just like Solomon did at the very end, you'll realize it. And it's a fear of God. The more the fear of God grows in proportion to our understanding of His greatness, the more you will be brought back up there. So we have another scripture here. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Very similar to another one that we may be familiar with, Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. It's the beginning of a relationship with God. It's what matures us in our relationship with God. To fear God, to reference and be in complete awe of Him. And that's the book, John Bevere, The Awe of God. The fear of God is when you realize how great He is, not just in general terms, but I like what Pastor Gary did, specifically for you. It's personal. He's a personal God. And He's done these great things in your life. You really remember what He did. Maybe even years ago, or maybe even yesterday. If you think, wow, He did that specific memory that you had earlier when Pastor Gary says, remember specifically, that should cause us to be filled with awe. God, You are so incredible. Because as bad as I am and how unworthy I am, You still love me. You still want to touch me. You still want to bless me. See, so that's the fear of God, is to revere Him, to be so in awe, to hallow Him, to respect Him greatly, to esteem, honor, adore, and venerate Him, to take on God's heart. We love what He loves and hate what He hates, living in obedience, knowing God would judge us. That is healthy fear. That's a different kind of fear. And that's why, like I said, over 200 times we see the phrase to fear God. Hallelujah. His fear, His holy fear, draws us in. Because that awesomeness, we want more of that. Once you tasted it, how can you not want more? Right? It's like a good buffet. Right? Oh, I want to go back for that. That was the best spaghetti I ever had. I'm going back for more. I can't live without spaghetti. Some people get spaghetti withdrawals, right? When you taste that good one. You got to go back for more. And that's the thing. This kind of fear, you don't want to lose that intimacy with God. You want more and more of it. I think back again on my son, Ryan. My wife and I, right before the pandemic in 2019, we took a missions team. By the way, we do like 4 or 5 missions trips every year from our church. We do short-term, long-term. Short-term are anything like 2 weeks, 1 week, that type of thing. Long-term are 6 months or longer. And in fact, Brazil is another country that we've been in. That's probably the one that we're really focused on during the last few years. We sent a team there, and it's incredible what's going on there. That's long term. In fact, there's a family that we sent 11 years ago. They're still there now. They had a prosperous jewelry business in Hawaii. They had the corporate contract with Costco. Every time you bought a necklace or a bracelet, you were buying from them. They gave that up to go down to Brazil, okay? We do that. We're a sending church, okay? We don't just have plaques about who we support, though we do that too, but also who we send, how we number. Somebody asked me, how many people are in our church? Does that matter? It's how many people are out there serving God, right? Being sent out. So in Brazil, we do that. So we got the short term, we got long term. So we decide that we've never been to Israel, my wife and me. And so we decided that let's not just do the go to the Jordan River and get baptized thing, okay? Let's do missions. And so I had a connection through Pastor Rod Aguilar, and he knows of somebody who knows the national director of all the Pentecostal churches in Israel. Hooked up with him, and he arranged for us to speak in 6 different churches, 2 Bible schools. So he did that, as well as getting baptized in the Jordan River and all that stuff, okay? So we did all that kind of stuff. Well, as we were planning it, my wife said, just in case something happens, we better make sure that our will is in place. Says, okay, I'm good with that, because we got a plan for the future and all that, and Jesus is all into planning. So we were putting that all together, and Ryan heard about it. He says, why are you doing that? Well, we never know. No, you got to come back. He says, no, we will come back. Then why are you doing the will? You're coming back, you don't need a will. I says, oh, he got me on that one, right? By that. No, no, just in case, but you know, it's just for the real remote possibility. But yeah, hey, 1/3 goes to you, okay? How's that? 1/3. But you know what? He didn't want our stuff. He wanted us, right? And shouldn't that be with Christianity? God is not your blessings. I want the blesser. And so, every day when we were calling back from Israel, you know, hey, Ryan, are you dead? Are you okay? Well, we just called you. How can we be dead, you know? Yeah, just in case, you know, be really careful. You know, I heard that there's some bombing. Is there bombing over there? Yeah, well, there was bombing in Gaza and all that. How close are you to Gaza? You know, well, not that close, but, you know, we saw the bomb shelters underneath every church that we've been in. What? There's bomb shelter, even bombs all over the place and all that. He didn't want to lose the presence of his daddy. That's the fear of God, not wanting to lose the presence of daddy, right? Because you love him so much. That's the revere, to be so in awe with him. It draws us to him. That when we hear about prayer meeting, I want to be there. When God is in some special meeting, I'm there. I don't want to miss out on the presence. Not the presence, it's in P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, the gifts. But the presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. I should have made a slide for that one, okay? Because some people can't follow words, spelling and all that. But anyways, right? We want his presence around us. I'd rather have that than the gifts. You follow what I'm trying to say? If you have the fear of the Lord. We must fear God out of love, not love him out of fear, said one of the church leaders back in the 16th century. So loving what God loves. This is that part one of this series. So what does God love? God loves those who fear him. Psalm 103, verses 10 to 12. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. Can we say that when the love of God feels far away, we should go back to our healthy fear of God? You know, when we feel so distant, is it because the fear of God is not operating in us? Are you really fearing God? Because maybe we need to go back to that. Of who he is, does that still awe you? Because if not, maybe you need to go back to fearing him again. You know, if you feel it distant. We live in a culture, and even church culture, where we take God's love for granted. We need to pursue after holiness. in Proverbs 15:9 says that Lord detests the way of the wicked, but he loves those who pursue godliness. How many of you want God to love you? Yeah, right? Every child wants their parent to love them, right? Women, I don't know if you know this, statistically, the number one thing that guys want is not sex. Really? Some single women? I thought that all guys want sex. Okay? Yeah, well, they do. Okay, but that's not the number one thing. The number one thing is they want their father's affirmation. Okay? If most of you guys ask yourself that, is that what you really want? Yeah. Yeah, you want the sex stuff too. I know that. But that doesn't last very long. But the affirmation, the approval that daddy's behind me. And that's why some of us are a little bit mixed up. Because we didn't get that when we were young. I didn't get that. My dad, who was not even my real dad, because my real dad passed away when I was not even born yet. My mom remarried before I was born, so it made it look like my real dad. But he wasn't, because he treated me differently than from my half-sisters who came after me. I didn't get that. So I was lost, and I needed an encounter. I needed God to affirm that his love, he will approve me. But that's why some of us guys are a little bit lost, and that's why we're always seeking. What do you think of what I did? How did I wash the dishes? How about the car wash? How did I clean? And you go, why is this guy so into himself? It's not that. He probably never got affirmation from his father. That's why. So why do you need to help the guys out there? Says, hey, you are the best dishwasher in the world. I'm not kidding. My wife did that to me one day because she learned that principle too. And I'm going, oh, you said that only because the seminar speaker said that. Says, yeah, that's true. Okay? Says, oh, come on. But you know what? The next day at 2 in the morning after I finished church business and all that, I was washing the dishes. Because she said that. Even though I knew that she only said that because the speaker said that, it worked. Because I got some affirmation. And then after a while, she says, wow, nobody cleans the plate like you do, Terry Wong. And you know what? Next day, I wash the dishes again. It works. Wives, you want more dishes washed? You just affirm the guy, okay? We want the Father to love us, right? Then pursue godliness. Practice forgiveness, humility, holiness, kindness, the fruit of the Spirit. You do that. Oh, you got the affirmation of the Father. And I'm not just speaking to men right now. Women, you need it too, right? My daughter loves it when she knows that she's daddy's little girl, because she's the only daughter I have. And she wraps me around her finger, and she'll get me to do whatever and all that. But she knows daddy loves her. And that's affirming, right? That's security right there. God also loves a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9:7, and Pastor Gary already kind of emphasized this point. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Cheerfully. Like, you know, at Calvary, when we have offering time, they're all ready for it. Because I'll say, church, it's tithe and offering time. And they go, hallelujah, wow, yeah, let's do it. You think God doesn't love that? Because the word says so. I, as a leader of the house, I want this church to not go, oh, good, give again. Oh, come on. My pocket is empty, and man, so many expenses and debts and all that stuff, and oh, how dare they ask me for more money? And already we're a missions-giving church. And by the way, our church, for many years, number in a top 5 in missions-giving in the Assemblies of God nationwide, not just in Hawaii, nationwide. And so, oh, man, I give so much, and now they get after more. I don't want to give anymore. No. We don't start off that way. It's not supposed to be a drudgery. It's supposed to be a delight. And that's why we say, let's be cheerful. And so let's try it out right now. Okay, let's try it out right now. Church, it's offering time. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. My hat is over here. You can drop it over. No. God loves that. Hallelujah. I want to please my Father so much. And if he says he loves a cheerful giver, then let's be a cheerful giver. He also loves people. People should be our priority. What kind of people? Well, first of all, people who are far from God. In 1 John 4:10 and 11, it says, this is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. You see, since he loved us, we ought to. And then the big scripture that everybody knows, John 3:16 in the NLT. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. This is one of the main missions of Bridge City Church, is to live to fear God by getting as many people as possible, doing whatever we can, short of sin, to see heaven bigger and hell smaller. Are you with me on this one? Amen. We exist so that as many people as possible will begin a relationship with God and become fully devoted followers of God. This requires heart changing, spiritual transforming, fear of God to accomplish this. Also, God loves people in his church. It's not just the people out there. Sometimes, you know, we can be a little bit too missional. It's like, it's all about them. It's never about my needs and all that stuff. And how come? I have one reputation at my church in Hawaii. I rarely spend money on our own church building. It's always about others. And that's, I think, that we should. But once in a while, and so, you know what I did during the pandemic? I spent about $80,000. And by the way, it's the first Chinese church in Hawaii. And I don't know if you know, Chinese people are real cheap, okay? And I'm one of the cheapest one of them all. So I look for deals, okay? That $80,000, some people told me it's like $200,000 for other people. Because I wheel and deal and all that. Now, I don't steal, okay? I'm not that bad, okay? And I want to make sure that they get blessed too. But some of these people, they inflate this inflation stuff. You know what bugs me? Is that they say that, oh, because of inflation, that's why we have to increase the price of the meal or to increase the price of whatever you buy, right? But if you really look under the covers, yeah, inflation went up a little bit. But then they double on that because they're trying to make up for the pandemic or whatever the reason is, okay? No. As Christians, we don't do that kind of stuff. Let's be fair. You make a profit and I get a blessing. Yeah. Amen? So spend $80,000 and we fix up the church building and all that. Why? And then my people are happier. Oh, now I want to give even more because Pastor Terry is taking care of us too. We got to take care of the house as well too. Ephesians 4, verses 25 to 27 says, for husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. See, Jesus, he sacrificially, selflessly served the church. He created a bride for the bridegroom. Hallelujah. This is why Bridge City Church is so passionate about the church, because it belongs to Jesus. Hallelujah. He purchased it, paid for it, gave his life for it. God loves his people. And God loves you as an individual. It's not just about, oh yeah, God kind of, but I'm kind of lost in there because I'm really kind of a nobody in the church and all that. No, there's no nobodies as far as Jesus is concerned. When he hanged on the cross, there was no nobody. It's everybody. Everybody. When he was looking through the corridors of time and saw the future and saw us here in 2023, he saw each and every one of you, and you meant something to him. He loves each and every one of you as an individual. Hallelujah. God loves unity. Psalm 133. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. When God sees unity, God commands a blessing. Amen. Commands. It's like, bless that person, angel number one. And that sister, bless that brother over there. I mean, commands a blessing when he sees unity. There's too many churches that are not united. The devil has divided too many churches. Don't go there. If there's a misunderstanding, you fight it. When there's some kind of miscommunication, oh, you fight that one. When you heard some kind of gossip going on, you fight that stuff. It's not worth it because the enemy's getting there. And plus, if we stick together and be united, God loves us even more. Well, thank you for fighting through that. I love you. I love you. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. It's important for us to be together. I want to tell you a story here. Here's a picture of a big dude. His name, he goes by the name Pastor T. Okay? He's Pastor Alu Alu. But his first name is Tao Vao. So he likes Pastor T. He's a big dude. But he wasn't a pastor early part of his life. He was a gang leader. He was a drug gang leader. Cockfighting was really big in Hawaii. He did all that. He beat up people. He was put in prison. He was a non-Christian in those days. And then one of my dear friends went in there, witnessed to him. He got saved. He was awed by God that God could save a sinner like him. So because of that, he gave his life to the Lord and became a pastor. I was the one who ordained him. And so he asked if I can be his pastor. In the Assemblies of God, we call it a presbyter, because he's a pastor. So a pastor who's a pastor of a pastor is a presbyter. So I'm a presbyter. I am a pastor, a presbyter. I've been 16 years. But I am his presbyter or pastor, okay? And you can see he's a big dude. He was even in Ultimate Fighting too, okay? And I don't know if you know me, because it's the first time I preached in this campus, but I actually was very involved in Kung Fu and Taekwondo at one time. Okay, I actually qualified in 1988 for the Olympic team in Taekwondo. Okay, so I used to train with Bruce Lee and Chuck Norris's students. Okay, like I was world ranked at the time. Okay, but compared to Pastor T, one hit and I'm out. Okay, big dude. Okay, but we became friends and I just started pastoring him, helping him and all that. Right, and he promised he would never hit me. Okay, so. He was telling me he has 9 children. One of them, his son, is Tyson Alu Alu. That might sound familiar to you. He raised him up and he says, son, no, he taught, son, don't be like me back then. Hopefully you can learn from me now. And he talks like that, really, right? Right? He talks like that. Yeah, like he's a scary guy, like fear of Pastor T is there. He's already there, okay? And he says, son, follow Jesus. Follow God the Father, Abba. That's who you follow. And so his son became a Christian. And then he got a full ride to UC Berkeley in football. And then he got drafted by the Jacksonville Jaguars. And he got a signing bonus of $10 million. He wrote out a check for $1 million, sent it to Dad, says, Dad, build your church in Hawaii. He played for the Jaguars for, I think, about 7 years. And then your Pittsburgh Steelers got him for 5 years, defensive end. Tyson Alu Alu, right? So then we were having lunch shortly, and there's Pastor T, and he gave Ryan, stand up again, that jersey. Turn around, no, this way. The sleeve is signed by Tyson. And also signed an NFL football, terrible towel. Even Terrell says, thank you, Ryan, you know, all that stuff, and Tyson, the whole 9 yards. So then, just recently, okay, our sister, Jisha Aaron, you know, talking about going to Samoa and all that. Well, he's a Samoan, if you haven't figured that out, okay? Pastor T just asked me, nominated me to being a tribal chief, but I need a spiritual authority to write a reference letter to finish off the approval. Can you write it for me? I said, I'd be happy to. So I wrote this really, you know, a nice letter and all that, sent in, went over to the head guy in Samoa, and he just got approved to being a tribal chief. Why is that important? Because a tribal chief is higher than the president. It's higher than the king. Okay, it's really high up. And he said, now I have a platform. So on Thursday, he flew out to now to meet with his tribe and witness, and he's planning to save every person in the tribe. So, he was so thankful for what I did. It's not just that. I mean, there's been a whole bunch of things. He said, you know, usually when Tyson has his home opener, he flies me and Leva, that's his wife, to the home, and we get the box seats and everything, and sometimes even the whole family, all 9 kids, the other 8 siblings, and their family, he flies them in, you know, because he's a rich dude, right? You know, I mean, he doesn't make as much as, you know, like Roethlisberger used to make, right? You know, but he's still, you know, not bad, right? For a Christian, that's pretty good, right? Well, he said that because I'm going to Samoa, I'm not going to be there for the whole opener. I want to bless you. So here are 2 tickets to the home openers. And I hope you're okay because they're playing the San Francisco 49ers, which I lived in San Francisco for 14 years, so I kind of like them, okay? Anyways, so that's why after service, we are going to watch the home opener. I'm tying everything in right now. Father, Son, with Pastor T and Tyson. Terry Wong and Ryan Wong, Father, Son. And God commands a blessing. When you love Him, when you fear Him, when you put Him first, the blessings get commanded upon your life. And that's why I'm so excited about this series. It's going to be, you know, part of the Connect groups. And that's why we got a few pictures of some dudes here. If you can just put them up. Hey, when they all come together, these dudes, right? And then the next one, you know, when they all come together and they study God's word together and learn to fear God together in unity. Hallelujah. God loves that kind of stuff. And finally, God loves obedience. My last scripture, and then we end here. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them. And I will love them and reveal myself to each one of them. Hallelujah. When God loves you, watch out. Watch out. Fear God. What a great series it's going to be. And so I'm excited for you guys. I'm not going to be here next week. I'm not going to be part of your, but we have our own connection groups too. And you know what? We're learning to fear God more and more, loving Him as He loves us. And we're going to see God commanding a blessing upon each and every one, because He loves each and every one of you. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your words. Thank You for inspiring us right now, oh God. And now, Lord, let us learn to love You more. Lord, there may be people here right now that maybe feel a little distant. Some prayers have not been answered. Some trials have been coming upon them, and they're seeing no relief from this. Lord, let them learn the fear of God right now in Jesus' name. Let them learn the fear of God. With your heads bowed, eyes closed, I'm going to ask our worship leader to come up right now. If you're in that position where you're saying, I need the fear of God. I need to know that He loves me because I want to love Him so much. I want to be in awe of Him. If that's you and you just say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand right now? Oh, yes, many hands. Would you all stand up with me? I'm going to ask my brother just to lead an appropriate song. You led in so many good songs. I just want to open up the altar right now for a few minutes. And let's just seek God together. Just come on up right now. Let's seek Him together right now and say, God, I want to fear You. I want to fear You. And I really want to know Your love. I want to be in awe of You right now in Jesus' name. Just come up right now. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lead us, brother. Lead us, brother. Just seek God right now. Prayer warriors, come around. Hallelujah.